First of all, I've known Pastor Lance for a short time. I know he's a Massillon graduate. I've known him through the Baptist Temple. I spent 16 years at the Massillon Baptist Temple, so I have seen Brother Lance occasionally on and off, and I had the privilege of seeing his son come to school there and being able to be on staff at the Massillon Baptist Temple while Stephen was there in school, and I enjoyed Stephen has such a great testimony. And I really appreciated that. And I got to know Pastor Lance after I moved to Crestline, Ohio. And he's a dear friend, and I appreciate him. And I appreciate his friendship. I also appreciate him extending the offer to come and be able to teach in the Bible Institute on Monday nights. I enjoy it. I've always wanted to teach. Not saying I'm a good teacher, but I just enjoy teaching. I do enjoy doing that. And I love doing that and love teaching. And I want to say thank you to this great church for opening up your doors for that great ministry. Dr. Cummins will be celebrating our 36th anniversary of the Massillon Baptist College, and the whole reason Dr. Cummins started the college was because he wanted local pastors to train the local people how to minister in their church. And I thank you for opening up the building here and letting us come and be able to teach out of here. You don't know what a great blessing it is to be able to do that. We've seen so many miracles and things happen, and it's exciting for me to be here. And I do appreciate Pastor Lance also letting me step in and fill his pulpit. He's a good friend. You have a very, very good pastor. He's a great man of God, and he's a good pastor. He loves you, and I enjoy being around him. I know that I feel better. I feel like I've improved by being around him. You know, my dad used to say, birds of a feather flock together, you know, so I try to align myself. The Bible also says iron sharpens iron. So I try to be around people that are a little bit smarter than me. So a little bit smarter, so I don't look like a complete idiot that I am. But, you know, I do like being around him. I feel like I feel better as a child of God when I'm around him. I've learned so much from Pastor Lance. He's truly one of the smartest men I know. I don't say that thing, but I know it. And I know he really studies the Word of God, and you get your money's worth out of Pastor Lance. I will tell you that right now. And his family has been such a blessing to my family, and I appreciate him so much. I appreciate Brother Ron. I said all that to say something nice about Brother Ron and Miss Jenny, and I enjoy their testimony and their faithfulness on Monday nights and sitting through our sometimes boring lessons, I'm sure, and being there, and Miss Jody being supportive of that and being a part of that ministry. If you have not gone to the Bible Institute, or if you thought about it, it's not that difficult. It's really easy. We try to make it as easy as possible without just letting everybody pass. You know, we try to make it as easy as possible. If you just want to know more about the Word of God, I would recommend going to the Bible Institute and learning about it as much as you can. My one thing is, I don't have a church to be able to tell my people to come and be a part of it. I was excited when they asked me when I was pastor of Calvary Baptist in Crestline to be a part of it. I was excited about getting behind it. I talked to a couple of my people to come. One of them came one time, then he left. But I do appreciate this great church and the things that you're trying to do in this city, and I appreciate you being behind your pastor. I'm telling you, he is a wonderful man, and he's a good preacher. I said all that to get you, I didn't tell you where we're headed, but if you'll turn in your Bibles to John chapter number 16, in the Bible Institute last Monday night, we kind of went through a little bit of John chapter number 16, and we're going to look at something. I know Pastor Lance had been talking to me, and he had mentioned the fact that you guys did a little bit of a study on the Holy Spirit. So I'm not going to tell you anything that he probably already didn't tell you. I'm not as outlined as he is. I'm a little bit different. But I am probably as long-winded. But we'll try to get you out of here at a good hour. I really tried to respect the time this morning with it being Mother's Day and everything like that. And I really, Lord just impressed me with that sermon this morning. So it was the first time I ever preached that. So I hope I'm going to work on it and make it better, but it's a work. You got to work at it. But by now you should have found John chapter number 16 and verse number 1. We'll read, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this passage of Scripture. I pray you'll hide me behind the cross. Forgive me where I have failed you. Father, I just want the clarity of Christ's Spirit moving in my life. Father, I desire the Word to run through my veins and through all over me and cleanse me. Lord, I pray that you'll open my heart up for the Spirit's leading into the words that you would have me speak tonight. Father, I realize in me there dwelleth no good thing. Not even the words that I have are worth anything. But when I read the very Word of God that Jesus gave his life for to give us, I know that that is the best thing. So, Lord, I pray as we look into the Word of God, we'll listen to what you have to say in Jesus' name. Amen. I am a big fan of the book of John. As the people on Monday night know, I love John. Some of my favorite passages of Scripture is John chapter number 3. My life verse is John 3:16. I used to think that that was a redundant verse, and a lot of people use that. But not until about 10 years ago when the Lord finally got a hold of my heart and taught me, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." When I finally saw myself as God saw myself and how much he loved me, how much more I could love other people, no matter what they do to me. And as I searched that out, I love that passage of Scripture. And then I share something in common with Miss Jenny. We were talking about this on Monday night, John 14. Is one of my favorite passages of Scriptures also. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Do you know the Lord would tell you what you need to know? We just read it here in this passage of Scripture. He says, "Some things I couldn't tell you in the beginning because I was with you. But now that I am leaving, I have to tell you. I have to tell you." Boy, isn't it great to know that God wants you to know about him and about the life that you're leading and how to live a better life? What a wonderful thought that we have about this John chapter number 14. I like John 15 because it talks about abiding in Christ. And as long as I abide in Christ, I'll bear fruit. And the more fruit I bear, the more he's going to purge me, and the more he's going to harvest, and the more fruit I can bear because of that purging that's going on in my life. What a wonderful thought that I can bear fruit for my Savior. Then we come to John chapter number 16. These are very personal passages of Scriptures. Nobody heard Jesus talk these things except for his apostles and his disciples. And he told them this very first thing. "These things have I spoken unto you." Eventually, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit this evening, but I'm going to just start talking out of John chapter number 16. I feel led to do that. "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended." Listen, when Jesus tells you something, he doesn't do it to offend you. He does it for your benefit. I know I have this, I know I look so wonderful, and I know I seem so nice. But you know, not everybody likes being told what to do all the time. I know I don't. But Jesus, you know, he's sitting here, he's talking to him, and he's telling him all these things. And he says, "Listen, I don't want you to be offended, but I have to speak these things unto you. I have to tell you, you need to know some things. These things I've spoken unto you, they should not be offended, but they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." Haven't we come to that point in America? Haven't we come to that point in the world right now that there are Christians, real Christians, being put out of church? Think about our forefathers. I know Pastor Lance has probably taught you about Baptist history and different things about how that there are people that have been put out of the synagogues. People were burned at the stake. People were excommunicated from what they called the true church. But he said, "Listen, be not offended. The time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that you do with God a service, that they will put you out of the synagogues." Listen, we were talking this morning, Brother Baum mentioned that article. My pastor at Grace, Brother McCabe, is talking about how that there's things in the Senate and the House. We talk about that hate crimes bill and different things. There are things working inside our government to shut churches down. Believe it, mark it down 100%. there are things that this government is trying to do to shut churches down. And we're going to, I believe it's possible without God intervening, without a great revival coming, without Christians getting on their hands and knees and begging God for His mercy and for His grace and for the Spirit's power in their lives, we're going to start meeting in houses again. Not because we can't afford the light bill, but because we'll be in fear of our lives. We were talking this morning, I totally 100% agree. This government didn't take prayer out of our schools, Christians did. Christians took the Bible out of schools. Christians let a lot of things happen in this. We were learning on Monday night about how salt is salty and what you can preserve and do things with it. But if salt has lost its saltiness, it's no good. It's to be thrown out and trodden under according to the book, what the Bible says. We as Christians, a lot of us, have just laid down on the job. And many pulpits have been silent. Like somebody had mentioned about B.R. Lake, and pulpits have been silent about what the government has been doing. And we let them take prayer and Bible reading and things out of the school. It's a terrible thing. It's a shame. There will be time cometh that you will be put out of synagogues, and they will think that they do God a service. How about this? Whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. Isn't that what the Muslim is teaching? I'm sorry, I hate to tell you this. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but this is a burden upon my heart. The Muslims are out after us. They're after Christians to put them to death. I go to the bookery occasionally. I fear to say that sometimes. But I go to the bookery, but I notice that there's a book I want to read. There's a book out by an ex-Muslim, and on the jacket cover it talks about how that they try to put to death Christianity and the people that follow Christ. That's what they're there for. There was another person I was talking to, Pastor Oxidine of Whetstone, and he had mentioned how that he was at a preacher's meeting and there was an ex-Muslim there, and he got up to speak and he told them about the Quran and what the Quran teaches about killing those that follow God. And they think that they are doing a service. They count it a privilege and honor to be able to die for what they believe in by killing other people. Doing God a service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. How sad that is that they have not known the Father. You know, if we would go like our Savior did in John when He says, "So send I you, go into the world and preach the gospel," they would have known Him. As I was reading this passage of Scripture, it's sad because I think of the time of Joseph and when he was reading in the very first chapter of the book of Exodus about how there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph and the things that he had done. How sad. I'm not saying Joseph was a great person. He was a great person because God used him to do great things. But think about that. There arose a king that knew not Joseph and how he spared them from the famine that they had, the 7 years of famine. Here we have in this verses that the time will come when they will not have known the Father. You know what? I think as Christians, we've gotten pretty relaxed about telling other people about Christ. I know it's a hard day and age we live in, and because of things that are going on in television and other Christians, it's hard to knock on doors and actually tell people about Christ. I realize that we've come to a point where we really need to live what we preach more than just say what we believe. We need to live it and believe it because so many people see these things and say, man, you know, they say, oh, you're a Christian and you don't live like a Christian. Oh, you want me to accept Christ, but how does that make a change in my life? They don't know the Father, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to Him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither I go. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Isn't it nice to know your God tells you the truth? You know, we were talking about Fox and news, and it's hard to read between the lines to discern who is exactly telling you the truth. But isn't it nice to know that God is telling you the truth? Isn't it nice to know that He has written down in black and white, and He's preserved it from the beginning of time and eternity past to eternity future? He has settled His word in heaven. You have the truth before you. All you have to do is pick it up and read it, and you have the truth. Praise the Lord, I don't have to rely, as much as I love Pastor Lance, and as much as I love my wife, and I love my father, and I love my mother, I don't have to rely on them to tell me the truth. I have the Word of God. It tells me what I need to know. It's the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. He is truth. That's what He is. Praise the Lord, we have the Word of God, and we have the truth before us. He says, hey, I go and I will tell you the truth. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. I've heard people say, oh, I wish Christ was here. I wish Christ was on this earth and we could be around Christ. Why, if it was such a wonderful thing to have Christ on this earth, why did Jesus say to His disciples, it is expedient for me to go away so that a comforter can come unto you? Well, because when Jesus died on that cross to save us from our sins, that Holy Spirit came and now indwells inside of you, and you have Him with you consistently. Think about in the Old Testament, the Bible talks about how the Spirit came and moved among the men and came and left. You always have the Spirit of God with you. You always have Him with you. It's expedient, He said, for me to go away. We have, so I can send the Comforter unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and that He will show unto you the things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Listen, I want to talk tonight about the Holy Spirit of God. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. We need His presence. Number one, we need His presence for security. In Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 13, if you'll turn in your Bibles there, it is Sunday night. It's a time to learn. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter number 1, it's a familiar passage of Scripture. But you know what? I love the familiar passages because I still find something new in each one of them. In verse number 13, it says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Listen, that promise was that Jesus said, hey, if I go away, I will send the Comforter unto you. That was the Spirit of promise. He came. His name was the Holy Ghost. He is that Comforter. He says, notice, He says that when ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Listen, I don't know about you. I get sick and tired of people telling me that I need to be filled with some kind of second blessing, or I need to have something come over my life, and I need to say something in some foreign language that nobody seems to know about. And yet those people don't even live like Christ lived. You know, what good is it? Paul said, what good is it if I speak with tongues and I have not charity? I'm as a tinkling brass. Right? Tinkling cymbal and sounding brass. He says, what good is it I do these things if I don't have love? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You can speak in tongues and you can have the second blessing all you want. But I'm going to tell you something. I know a lot of those people that are not living like Jesus lived. They don't show the daily love and compassion that my Savior showed when He walked on the face of this earth. Oh, I love my Savior so much. I think about in John about the woman at the well and how He came and He talked to her and He told her about the living water and how she got saved, and she ran through the town and saying, come see this man that told me all that I ever did. Come see the man that made a difference in my life. But do you know in the preceding chapters that Jesus was on a mountaintop praying for God's power on His life? And the Satan came unto Him and tempted Him and tried Him for 40 days and 40 nights. He was up in that wilderness. And then all of a sudden Satan came unto Him in the moment of weakness. At His weakest point, He said, listen, if you turn these stones into bread, you will eat. And what does the Lord do? He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Oh, well, He takes them up into a high thing. If you just bow down and worship Me, this will be all over. We'll go on. And Jesus said, no. No, I'm not going to do that. Jesus knew that someday every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord. But He was able to accomplish all that because the power of God in his life, and that was the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. After ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We have security. Listen, it doesn't matter what I do. I have security in knowing that I am sealed forever with the Lord. Praise Him for that. Think about the second thing in Acts 1:8. It talks about we need His presence for power. Acts 1:8 is a very familiar verse for us all. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me of both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Listen, we are witnesses, and we receive that power, and we become witnesses for Him. Witnesses for power. It's amazing to me that every time that I see the Spirit of God moving in the Old Testament or even in the New Testament, it was either to judge people of sin, or it was for people to be Jesus would witness to somebody, or He would use the Spirit to try to bring people to the saving knowledge of Himself. Never in the Bible did I ever see Jesus speak in tongues. You can't find it there. If Jesus didn't speak in tongues, I guess it's all right that I don't speak in tongues. If He didn't do it, I don't have to do it, and I'm commanded to be like Him. You know, I don't have to. Notice the power. It says, ye shall be witnesses. When we get that Holy Spirit's presence in our life, we will want to tell other people about Jesus Christ. We will not be able to contain what's going on inside of our life because of what Jesus has done. Notice that something else the Bible says in Romans chapter number 8. Not only is there security in His presence, and not only when His presence comes, is there security, and when His presence is also there, that there is power. But according to Romans chapter 8, it's a badge of identification. It's a badge of identification. In Romans chapter number 8, verse number 14 through 16, it says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Listen, we are, by the Spirit of God, it is our identification that we are His children. Verse number 9 of that same chapter says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that of the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not any of His." John 1 talks about it, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God." Listen, if you don't have the Spirit of God in your life, where's the identification with Jesus? Jesus saw His need for the power. That's why He went up into the wilderness to pray. That's why He daily went by Himself early in the morning and got on His hands and knees and He asked God for His leading in His life. Notice something else here that we found in John chapter number 16, which I kind of like because I look at it as a promise and I kind of smile. Verses number 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, that I go to my Father, and you see me no more." Listen, He's here to reprove the world of his sin. Do you know part of the reason why the Romans and the Jewish people and other people hate us? Because when we are living a life that is pleasing to God, we are living a Spirit-filled life, the other people around us are ashamed. And they're embarrassed. And they feel like uneasy around you. And say, "Oh, that guy over there." You know what that is? That's the Spirit of God in your life. Just think with me for a minute. How did they treat Jesus? I mean, sure, the publicans and the sinners and the ones that really were the world would term the down and outers, the ones that really needed Christ, they loved Him. What did Jesus say? "They that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick need the physician." The ones that banded around Him, the ones that came to Him were the ones that were sick. And they needed help. Now, the Pharisees, they needed His help, but they chose to ignore it, and so did some other people. But He's here to reprove the world of sin. People didn't like Jesus because His lifestyle and what He lived and how He walked and He talked reproved them of their sin. You know why someday that we are going to be thrown in jail, and some of us may end up in jail, some of us may even be martyred because of our stand for Christ and how it reproves the world of sin. He's here to reprove the world of sin. And when He is come, there's a promise there. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin. You know, it's not my job up here to necessarily judge everybody and tell everybody their faults and their shortcomings. That's what the Word of God is for. And all I have to do is teach and preach the Word of God. I don't have to sit there and tell everybody how wrong they are, because most of us already know. But He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. What a wonderful thought. Notice something else here about this Spirit and His presence. Not only do we get security, not only do we get power, not only can we identify, it's identification, and not only does it reprove us of our sin and of the world of sin, but back to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. One of the wonderful things about the Spirit of God and His presence in your life is, I don't know about you, but there have been many a time that I've been on the altar and I've been praying and I just sit there or as kneel there and just don't know exactly what to say, and I just pour my heart out to Him. It's good to know that no matter, even if I don't know exactly what to say, that Spirit of God takes those prayers and He takes them to God and He makes intercession for us. And He makes it so God can understand it. The Bible says that we worship God in spirit and in truth. And one way to worship God is through His Spirit. And He takes that and He makes it known to God. What a wonderful thought to hear it is to see that we have these infirmities and the Spirit help us. And He helps us pray. And He takes these intercessions which cannot be uttered to God. And He takes, which cannot be uttered, but He takes them to God. Notice something else about this Spirit. Not only is there intercession, I would love to go and spend a lot of time on intercessory prayer, but I want to get through this first point at least. John chapter number 14, if you'll turn there with me. John 14. We see we need His presence for this. We need the Spirit's presence for security. We have His presence for power. We have His presence for identification. And we have His presence for reproving, for intercession. How about one of the best things in all the world that He does for us? In John 14, and verse number 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Spirit of God teaches us. Teaches us. I am not the most gifted person as far as brains are concerned or intellect. Any smartness I have, it's because I love to read the Word of God. The Bible does say that if you love to read His Word, you'll be wise. The world will think you're foolish, but you'll be wise and you'll confound everybody because you're simple. That's me. But, you know, I don't have to go and grab some commentary somewhere and say, okay, what are you teaching me? Let's go to Matthew Henry's commentary, and now you explain to me what Jesus just said. I don't have to do that. Oh, it's beneficial sometimes. But isn't it nice to know that you can get down on your hands and knees and just lay your Bible out there and say, Lord, what is it that You would have me read today? What is in this passage of Scripture that You have led me to? What is in there that I need to know? What can You teach me today from this? And God answers. God answers. He answers those prayers and He teaches you what you need to know. I know myself personally, Pastor Lance and I, we talk sometimes about some things. We serve on a committee together for the Alumni Association, so I appreciate him taking me to Massillon once a month, and we talk and we say things we don't always agree with. But what the fascinating thing is to know is that God's Spirit is working in his life. And when we talk, he says, you know, this is what God has shown me. And I say, hey, well, this is what God has shown me. And then Sometimes we even agree on some things. And it's just fascinating to know and to think that none of it I got from the world. It's just from reading God's word and what God has touched my heart about. And it's exciting to know that the Holy Spirit of God teaches us. And what's really exciting is that sometimes we'll talk and we'll get talking about the same subject. Now listen, I am left-handed, so I think on the right side of my brain. If you're right-handed, you think on the left side of your brain. It's a scientific fact. So I think differently than most people. I like word pictures. I like to be shown. I am not one of these people that can be given a detailed map of something and be able to figure it out. I am not an engineer of any kind, nor will I ever profess to be one. I'm a very simple person. But it's amazing that how your pastor, he's very technical and he's very detailed. And I love him for that. And how that God points out the very same things to us. And I say, hey, I learned that. But we'll try to say it, but I'll say it in one way and he'll say it in another way. And we come and we talk it out and we find out that we agree because of what the Spirit of God has taught us. Isn't it good to know that when Jesus went away, he didn't leave the disciples floundering in the wind and say, okay, disciples, I'm gone. You're on your own. I hope you have a good life. He didn't do that. He said, listen, I'm going to give you that Spirit of God, and I'm going to give you the Word of God, and the Spirit of God's going to illuminate the Word of God, and it's going to show you how you're going to walk and how you're supposed to talk and how you're supposed to do things. He didn't leave things to chance. He took everything very personal. He made it very detailed for us and made it very easy for us, honestly, if we just rely on the Spirit's presence in our life. Just in case you didn't notice, we spelt the word Spirit there. Security, power, identification, reproving, intercession, and teaching. We need the Spirit's presence, but not only do we need His presence, we need His power. We need His power in our lives so we need His power to convict us of our sins. You know, there are things that I realize that I'm not perfect, and God is still showing me things that I need to work out in my life. That Spirit of God still convicts me of my sins when I do something wrong or things that I need to change in my life. Praise the Lord, that Spirit of God has also convicts people of sin that are sitting in this pew or out in that world as we preach the Word of God and we preach the counsel of God and we preach the whole book. And as people hear the book being preached, they are convicted of their sins. We also can realize, according to Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 16, that the Spirit's power will control our lives if we let Him. It'll control our lives. Not only do we need the Spirit's power to convict us of our sins and convict this world of sins, but not only do we need His power to control our lives, but we need the Spirit's power to conduct our services. What do you mean? Well, according to John 4:24, when Jesus was talking at the woman at the well, she said, hey, listen, you say that we have the worship in Jerusalem, and we say that we worship over here in this mountain. And Jesus said, there will come a time when you will neither worship in Jerusalem, you'll neither worship in this mountain, you will worship me in spirit. You'll worship me in spirit. We need God's Spirit to conduct our services. You know, we need our lives to be in harmony with the Spirit of God so when we come into the house of God, the Spirit of God can move in and out amongst us and it can get us to do the things that God wants us to do. It will. The sad thing is that we don't realize that when we are not in harmony with the Spirit of God and we are not in harmony when we aren't in harmony with God or with that Spirit, we aren't in harmony with each other here at the church. Therefore, we cannot be of one accord and we cannot be of one mind and of one spirit as the Bible commands us to be. We need the Spirit of God to conduct our services. He needs to be able to move in and out amongst us to be able to control the service because we worship God in spirit. Not only we need His power to convict the world, ourselves of sin and also this world to control ourselves and to conduct our services, but you know what? Let's go to John 4:4. First John 4:4. Okay. First John 4:4. And it says, ye are of God, little children, and he have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Listen, the Bible says, behold, your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, seeketh about whom he may devour. And when Jesus was being tested on the mountain, he called Satan the prince and the power of this world. He was the ruler of this world. Listen, Jesus said, because of the Spirit of God in your life, ye have overcome Satan. But all too often, we don't have his presence, so we lack his power to conquer Satan. My boys and my daughter, they all go to public school. I made that choice, and I pray for them as they go to school, and I pray for the protection of God upon their life. I also pray that they will be witnesses inside of that school, that they'll be able to show someone by their life and being able to tell someone about Christ and about the difference that Jesus has made in their life. But just like that young man this morning about wanting to go to the prom and doing everything, senior year, going to throw it all aside just so he can have a few hours of fun. You know, I dare say that he doesn't have the presence of God in his life, the presence of the Spirit. He doesn't have the power of the Spirit, because if the Spirit was in his life and active amongst his life, he would be convicted of his sins. He would know that the music that they're going to play there is filthy, it's rotten, it's no good. I tell you, I've had to get a job. I work at CC's Pizza. It's no shame there. I also work at the Burlington Coat Factory. There's no shame there. But I'll tell you what, some of the music that I hear that these kids are listening to at CC's Pizza when I work in the back. I make all the cinnamon rolls. If you like their cinnamon rolls and their brownies, I know how all that's made. I make all their dough. I know how it's done. But the music that's listened to in the back that you don't hear, that your kids are listening to on a daily basis, it would appall you. I'm glad my dad doesn't hear it, because I thought some of the music maybe that I listened to, he would have strung me alive. But you know, some of the stuff I listen to is sedate to what they're listening to now. And the things that they say, this hate crimes bill. You know what makes me so funny is that we were talking about the hate crimes bill, and I'm just going to rabbit trail for a second here. We talk about that hate crimes bill, yet you can rap about killing 50 people in a song, nothing said. You can talk about what you want to do with young ladies or young men and how you want to live your life in a filthy lifestyle, and nothing is said about it. But you get a pastor up here who's poor and itinerant, doesn't know any better, and the only thing he knows is what the Word of God teaches him, and he stands up and he says, homosexuality is wrong and it's a sin! And he's the one getting in trouble. Murder should be punished. Yet, we turn out killers every day out of our prisons, and we're going to throw preachers and different people in there. I don't understand what this country's coming to, except for the fact is I know that as Christians, we've lost the presence of God and we lost the power in our lives. Listen, we need to have that power of God in our lives. We need to have His presence so the Spirit can convict us of our sins, so He can control our lives, so we can produce fruit that is honoring and pleasing to Him, so that when we have that fruit and that is going on inside of our lives, that He will be in control and conduct of our services, and then we can, as we worship God, and by the way, if we live lives in the Spirit's power, there's no doubt in my mind that we can fill any church in America. But usually, people don't come because of us. And we don't have the Spirit. Just do yourself a favor. Just think about Jesus for a minute. Why did they follow Jesus? What was the difference? In the synagogue, we learned this on Monday night. He stood in the synagogue and he said, we have never heard anybody preach this with such power and authority. What power and what authority did he have? God's
spirit that was in his life, and it was controlling him. And didn't he say that when he went away that he was going to give us those things? He gave Peter the keys of the kingdom, and he said, whatever you bind on heaven. Now listen, I realize that there are some restrictions there, but do you realize that there is power untapped by us in the Spirit of God? And we have victory over Satan in this old world. It says so in John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Listen, we need his presence. We need his power. And I'm done. I'm just going to throw this out here. We need his protection from Satan's power, Satan's pull, and self's pride. God commands us to be filled with the Spirit of God according to Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Listen, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have done. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to come and to share your word with these great people. Now, Father, I pray that the Spirit will move amongst us. And Lord, if there is one here that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, that they will get saved today, that we will be able to show them from the Word of God. Not my words, but what the Bible says about their sin and about their destination. Lord, if there is one here today that needs the Spirit of God and they need to make some changes in their life, Lord, I pray that they will come to this altar and they will come and lay it on the altar and not take it back again and just lay it at your feet. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.